All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville public hearing for Thursday, November 14th, 2019 at 6:30. And Ms. Hoffman, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Short.
Here.
Councilmember Vick.
Here.
Councilmember Gibson.
Here.
And Councilmember Holden.
Here.
Great, thank you. All right, tonight's public hearing agenda covers two items, proposed changes to water and sewer rate charges, as well as a request to vacate leaving utility easement 40-foot alley running through Block 17. We'll begin with the proposed changes to water and sewer rate charges. What we'll first do is have Mr. Underwood explain a process that we've gone through with World Water, who provides rate analysis services and to utilities such as ourselves. He'll walk us through that process, and then we'll see some information. We'll then open the floor for public comment on the topic. And then move on to the next item. Mr. Underwood.
Okay, after we decided we had a resolution to lower the rates, we had to get a hold of our bondholders, which is USDA Rural Development, and tell them that we're in the process of possibly lowering our rates. Because we have in our, in the bond that we have them, we have a lot of things we have to do, certain reserves we have to do, certain rates we have to maintain. And so they have to kind of give us the go-ahead, if you will, because when they give us money and loans, we irrevocably pledged our revenue to the bonds, which gives them a right to check our stuff out. So he told me to get a hold of Dan Kramer here to come in and look at our rates to make sure our rates were in compliance with the bond. And so last week, Dan came down and went through that process, and then we came back and looked at the numbers again to make sure we're right with what we're talking about, and that's probably what we're going to present to you right now. This is Dan Kramer. He's with Montana Rural Water. He's been doing this for 19 years. How many years?
Well, I managed and took care of three water and sewer districts for 11 years, and I've been working with Montana Rural Water for 15 years. And I've been doing rate structures all over the state of Montana. Do have a certification in utility finance and also on asset management through the Water University. I've also been the co-chair of the Water Wastewater Critical Infrastructure for the state of Montana, for co-chair of that committee for 7 years. So, and I have a lot of different certifications, a lot of different things, so worked in engineering and electronic warfare stuff for 3 years. So, you know, there's a lot of things I was involved in the past. And basically, I'm a homegrown boy, came from the ground up. And from working in the woods and wondering where my next meeting's going to come from. So I understand where everybody's coming from, because that's where I can be. But with that being said, I don't know if it, we went through the rate, and what this way this works. If everybody can see, I don't want to be in your way. You can see the different size lines there represents that. See that 0.75 and a 1-inch line and a 1.5 line, 2-inch line, 3-inch line. They all represent a number of connections of each. How many? And a multiplier on that is based on the surface area of the pipe. And the ratio 1 is a function of the 3/4-inch line and its surface area divided into other size pipes. So, in other words, that 0.75-inch pipe, the 3/4-inch pipe, in comparison to a 1-inch pipe, is equivalent to 1.79 times the size of a 3/4-inch pipe. And EDUs is one household or equivalent dwelling units. That's what that means. So what it does is we bring the number of connections, physical connections you have is 852. And by determining how or what each EDU costs per household is done by those multipliers, and that brings it across, and it's equivalent to 971.81 3/4-inch lines. So what that does is then we can take that number into your total what you pay for your loan, what you pay for O&M, and of course your asset replacement reserves. Now, the $91,108 is what you pay on your debt, the loans that you guys pay on. And that figures out to about $7.80 per EDU. And if you go on down to the O&M, it runs, you're paying, guys are paying $317,335, which is the same as you have to pay out about $26,44.58 a month, which figures out to about $27.21 per household. Now, if you go down below asset replacement reserves, that's the money you set aside for fixing things when they broke. Just like here, just recently, you guys had a major well problems up here, and it cost you about $32,000. So the cost of maintenance and repair for your system can be very expensive. Some of those incurred costs is, like we were sharing earlier, is because of the water loss you guys have. And you have a lot of water loss, and a lot of your wells are pumping a lot. And it costs you a lot of money to maintain those wells. And those wells are being turning all the time more than they should, because if somewhere you got these water leaks you have to take care of, and that loss is eating you up as far as your costs for electricity, the wear and tear on your pumps, and just the fact that chemicals that are pouring somewhere because you're leaking out. So that is one of those things that you really need to address. It's really important. Now, asset replacement reserves, reserve asset replace, is a number or monies used to look for and repair those kinds of items. In other words, you not have to go to the bank and get a loan every time you turn around. You got money to set aside, so you have that money so you can fix things, so you're not having to wonder where I'm going to get that dollar to fix it. Now, there are reserves that are attached to your bonds that you can't touch, and then there's other reserves, or asset replacement reserves, for short-lived assets for what you guys got a loan for. In other words, if you're going to get a 40-year note, then they don't want the thing to be broken before 40 years is over with, so you got this asset replacement reserve so to help you fix those things. The thing is Dan Johnson, when he was here, we talked about this, and I'm Steve Trundle with USDA. We talked about that, and that asset replacement reserve is only minimal for what you actually need to maintain your community for water or wastewater. So in this case, you have some short-lived assets you have to maintain, which is part of your, they call a statement of basis that you signed when you went into those bonds and those loans that you have. And I guess you have several that you're paying on. And so you have to meet those requirements to, meet those obligations. So with that, if you go down here where the total cost is, you got $508,343. That figures out about $43.59 for the water side, just to pay the bills, nothing else. And I know you guys are right at 3071 right now, so it doesn't give you a whole lot to work with. And so with that, the only thing you can mess with is the reserve asset replacement. The bond and the O&M has to be in your base rate. You can't decrease those unless that O&M goes down because you fix your water loss problem. And that could go down too once you get that done. But also you have to take in consideration, you also have a target rate you have to meet as well to qualify for other loans and grants. And I'm not sure what that is. You can get that from DNRC, TSEP, and see where you should be at to qualify those loans. like I know you have a water tank, you're trying to pay for it all out of pocket, and that's admirable. Because nobody wants to pay for those loans three times you pay the interest rate on it. And so what you guys have here is that's what it's going to take to try to achieve those goals. So with that, you can scroll down and you can see a little bit, and you can see what the cost per each size line and that sets up your commercial rate. So if you can go to the sewer, okay, here you have, it's still based on connection size and stuff, but sometimes sewers are less numbers than the water because it depends on how your hookups are and what their needs are. So in this case, you have 825 hookups per sewer, and you have, it's equivalent to 938.02 for total EDU. Now, if you see where you refinance your RD loan, your RD loan, and the loans that you're paying on, it's equivalent to $189,528. And that figures out to $1,684 per household. Here, the other O&M, current your O&M budget, is $313,019. And we went back and forth on these numbers to try to make sure that these were correct numbers, and that was the closest we can come based on the information that we have and what you have on the books. And then $60,000 for asset replacement. So currently, that brings it down. If you divide the EDUs, that 938.02, into that number, it figures out to $49.98 per EDU. And you're paying, Robert, what are you paying for a sewer bill now?
It would be going up to 5188.
You're paying what?
$1 more.
A dollar more than what that is. So the sewer is just, is sustaining itself, but very closely not. You're only a dollar off from where you should be at to maintain itself. So you're a dollar higher than, that 4098 is paying what you need to pay for. Again, the reserves, asset replacement reserves, that's the only number you can really mess with, but that loan and that O&M has to be in your base rate. Yes, sir.
Question. So the information that we have is right now in the Indian Fund, in water is 149,000, bond is 431,000, sewer is 455,000 and the bond is 279,000. I've heard about 1.4 million. The proposed 3% decrease, and then of course, if you want to make it a 6%, that's about 30,000, I believe. And there will be motions to replace that, so there wouldn't be any loss. And it doesn't affect the bonds. Now, you're not with the bond people, right?
Well, I do technical assistance with USDA.
Okay, so I just have one more question for Scott. Because you said the bond people were going to get back to you on this issue?
They are. And
yeah.
They need 30 days from the time that we spoke with them about running the numbers on this.
So again, there is what you're talking about with repairs and all, there is plenty of money now. And again, this money can be replaced. If this were to pass the 3%, there is money to move that was moved from someplace else back into the water and sewer. So it would not affect that.
And also you have to remember, sewer money is only sewer. They're enterprise funds.
Oh, I understand that. I understand.
So they have to be self-supporting.
I'm talking about the fees, not the bond.
The fees. Yeah. So, yes, whatever you do when you work with your local bond people, like the USDA, for an example, and if you want to decrease something, if you do decrease it, you have to get their approval based on
that's what we're waiting to hear through Scott.
Right, and I just wanted to share with you today, and that's what I'm here for, is to share what we come up with numbers that come out of your books and where you're at. And so
Well, we'll be getting into that, the budget.
Sure. So that, I just, you know, that's all I wanted to share with you today, and that's why I was here.
Appreciate it.
So you could see where the numbers were falling. So.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. So, from this point, given the information, we wanted you to at least have an opportunity to review that before we proceeded with any council discussion and public comment. So the purpose of the public hearing is to hear public comment for the council before you move into your council meeting later this evening and take this item up for consideration and possible decision. So with that, we'll open the floor for public comment on the proposed changes to water and sewer rate charges. And so we ask, it is a public comment period, so please provide your comment. If you have questions to ask, please ask those, but know that we won't answer them in the public hearing. The staff will take those questions down and will answer as many of those as possible under the decision item in the council meeting. And that's the point of the public hearing, is so that we can hear your questions, concerns, or input on the matter. So, for the public hearing, please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and sign the sign-in sheet that's provided. Is there any public comment on the proposed changes to water and sewer rates? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Pam Johnson.
Step to the podium, please. Thank you.
I live in Creekside Meadows, and I was comparing my lighting tax with 2018, and I see that it doubled.
Okay. The comment we're asking for right now is only for water and sewer rate changes. You'll have an opportunity to speak to that in our council meeting following this meeting.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah. So, Pat, is it? You could, when we go into our regular council meeting, that'll be part of the budget, and that's when you would bring up the lighting district.
We'll cue you. How's that?
This is on the water and sewer 3% decrease.
Proposed changes to water and sewer rates. Any public comment?
Dan Lyon, 126 Valley View. So it's decreased, but if there's such a thing as an average, so an average household, what would the decrease per month actually come out to be? I mean, I know it depends on the amount of oil they use, but is there such a thing as an average? What are we talking about? $10, $20, $2?
Okay. We'll provide that. Yeah.
I'm actually speaking on behalf of someone else. I was given some information to you. So I'm going to read her statement. A little thing, a little person in there. It says, good evening, Mr. Mayor and Mr. and council members. My name is Stephen McCulley. I live at 203 St. Mary's Drive. I'm unable to attend tonight's meeting and appreciate Joe Moore sharing my comments regarding proposed agenda item to reduce water rates and sewer rates. So, this little person here, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Pat, a representative composite of residents of the town of Stevensville. Pat is 42 years old, which is the median age for town residents. Pat lives in a two-person household, and Pat's total income is about $34,500 a year. Like 52% of the town's residents, Pat is a homeowner, though up until recently, Pat was a renter, like 48% of the town's population. Pat is among the nearly 35% of the town's population with a high school diploma, and as a high school graduate, Pat earns about $22,000 a year. Tonight, you're voting to reduce the residential water and sewer rates that will result in a $2.66 per month saving on a 3/4-inch line. Based on this week's local supermarket ad, here is what Pat can buy with the $2.66 per month savings. One dozen eggs, if they're 48 cents, a pound of apples, if they're 98 cents a pound, and a quart of milk at $1.20. $2.66 will not quite buy a gallon of gas, which more likely means Pat cannot make a round trip to and from work for one day. It will not buy Pat a Big Mac meal, which costs about $6.40, nor can Pat buy a six-pack of beer, which costs about $6.50. In my heart, I believe you're sincerely trying to help your constituents. The reality is, if you vote to pass this water and sewer reduction rate, you are not only not helping the town residents, you are actually setting them up for a bigger wallet hit in the future when you have to make the painful decision to vote for a double-digit water and sewer increase to keep up with the rising costs, which while meeting our bond obligations. Want to truly make a difference in the lives of the town residents, connect them to low-income energy assistance program that during the heating season helps eligible households pay a portion of their high energy costs. When a resident qualifies for this particular program, they automatically receive a 25% discount on their Northwest Energy electric bill during the heating seasons and a 15% discount during the remainder of the year. They also qualify for a 30% discount on their Northwest Energy gas bill in November through April. Connect them also with the Department of Energy's Weatherization Assistance Program, covering the cost to make homes more energy efficient with the goal of saving a homeowner $300 a year. Connect residents to the State of Montana Department of Revenue's Property Tax Assistance Program, which helps residents on a fixed or unlimited income by reducing the property tax rate on their home. When you help your constituents get one or any combination of these programs, then you will be making a real difference in their lives. This is addressed to Councilman Holcomb. Robin, you are the only council member who went through every anguishing water and sewer rate increase meeting. I know you vividly recall the yelling tears and the begging of town residents who asked you to never put them in through this again. Do the right thing and vote against reducing water and sewer rates. That's from that particular person, and I'll save my own comment for later.
Further public comment.
Good evening, members of the council and Mr. Mayor. I'm Cheryl Olson, part of Ward 2, and I live on 10th Street. Water is life, and it's becoming the most precious commodity on earth. We had a short experience of that this last summer when the city pumps failed. We all want lower utility rates and lower taxes, but this proposal to reduce our water rates is, to me, short-sighted. Utility costs don't usually go down. Yesterday, I went and met with Mr. Underwood, this town's finance officer, to understand how the council could be proposing to lower our water and sewer rates. It seemed inconceivable, given the state of our deteriorating water system that we all are familiar with. I came away from that meeting after looking over some of the bond requirements, wondering if we are abiding by the terms of the bond when we reduce rates and only further aggravate the account imbalance. I also looked at a lot of those numbers that were just presented, and I came away scratching my head, how could we be talking about lowering our rates? If you vote to support this proposal, please be sure that you are positive that this action will not, number one, affect our bond rating in the future. Two, cause the town's water account to be actuarially unsound. And three, cause a drastic rate increase in the future that is even more shocking than the one that was adopted in 2010. As the caretakers of our community, I urge you to please make a fiscally responsible decision regarding the future of our water supply. Thank you.
My name is Marilyn Wolf. I'm in Creekside Meadows. And I guess I'd like to know more about why there is so much water leaking. And is the city doing something about that? Seems to me that would be a big fix right there. And then I read today in the Bitterroot Star about purchasing land by Twin Creeks to build another water well pump. And I'm thinking it's because of sand issues. I think there's one there already nearby. And I'm wondering why you'd want to put another one so close by that might have the same issue. So those are all bothering me. I'd like to know more about it. Thanks.
Any further public comment? Mr. Moore, go ahead.
So my name is Joe Moore, and I live in 514 Central. And I don't really have another comment except that I would like to remind one council member on the present council, another council member that's here, that is no longer on the council, that a couple of years ago there was a moratorium put on. There used to be a program when I first came to town about attached to the water sewer bill to help people who are on fixed income. And it was a small little amount of money that we were given for people who really couldn't afford their bill. And this council, in particular, a couple of individuals who are no longer on the council, hopefully, put a moratorium on it to stop it. So I'm only bringing this up on behalf of the people who are in this town, live on fixed income, and cannot afford to pay the water bill every month. To reduce the rate looks like it might be a benefit, but I'm not so sure that it would be a benefit, and I think it would come back to haunt them, and we'd be in worse shape. Especially those, that program I think was set up for 60, and it only had about six, but I'm sure there's more people who need help. And to deprive them of this, and to reduce the rate, and then to stick them with something else later, is just not right.
Mr.
In response to Joe's comment, that was set up so we could help those people who couldn't afford to make their payments. And it worked really well, but we didn't have enough people in it to maintain. Not enough people were filing on it. And so we were just building a surplus in the fund, and that's what they have voted to eliminate. The other thing is, the bond is separate from the water bill. Where the idea is to reduce the water bill, you're not going to touch the bond. The bond has to stay the same. And so we have two different things going on. Some people are talking about the water bill. Some people are really confusing that with the bond bills. The bond for the sewer and the bond for the water, they're set. They've got to be paid. The only other question I have is, part of our water bill is taken to pay salaries at times with the mayor and the city council. And I don't quite understand why we took twice as much water, twice as much money to pay the salaries as what's legally allowed by law.
I'm Nancy Lowell, 211 Church Street, and we're having, you know, the discussion whether we should lower it, raise it, you know, on and on. In my opinion, with a large surplus amount of money in both water and sewer, it seems that actually the best for us would be to pay down the principal. So that's my thought on it.
Bob Michael, 1522 Turner Street. I'd like to address the issue of unpaid water bills. We have a large number of outstanding bills. When I left council, it was close to $40,000. Nobody talks about that. I'd like to know what the mayor is doing to address this problem. Everybody sits about a small increase and how we should or we shouldn't increase, but there's a number of people here that haven't paid their water bills at all and they're getting away with it. And just keep getting backlogged and backlogged. So like I say, we're close to 40,000, I think. And I'd like to see that number aggressively go down. Thank you.
Any further public comment on the rate changes? Going once, going twice.
And I would just suggest that later in the meeting, there will be resolutions on the water and sewer decreases, and there'll be more information provided. Somebody asked some questions about how this could be done or whatever. So if you're interested, I would stick around or come back for that. It's on the agenda.
All right, with that, we'll move on to the next public hearing item, which is a request to vacate with a utility easement a 40-foot alley running through Block 17, Lots 3 through 18 of the original town site of Stevensville. So petitions have been received by a number of property holders on Block 17 to vacate the alley, which runs through a number of those lots, while retaining a utility easement. This item has been before council previously, where it failed, and it's before you again for essentially reconsideration. Staff review of the proposal reveals that the town has consistently backed away from the practice of vacating alleys. There are a number of examples where vacating alleys elsewhere in the community has created issues, and we'd like to prevent those issues when we consider what does the development on that block and elsewhere in the community look like, you know, 20 years from now or even as soon as 5 years from now. So with that, we're here just tonight to take public comment on the petition. Then from that comment, the council will consider this item on the December 12th agenda. So this is not an item that will be decided on tonight. So with that, we'll open the floor for public comment on vacating the alley. Ms. Mickens.
Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck. I'm a fourth generation person. The so-called alley that he's talking about was never an alley. I went to the courthouse and I saw that they'd been plotted as an alley probably in the late early 60s when they put in the sewer. But when I had the property surveyed out back, the sewer is to the west of the alley, so the sewer isn't even in the alley. So it has nothing to do with the alley, and the alley is closed from what used to be Bill Hunter's apartment house to that end. It's closed, and there's a house that's built across the sewer. My property and Bill Hunter's property, my great-grandfather had the apartment house, which was a house, and out back is built a summer house. So obviously, there can't be an alley because there's a summer house. The house next to it belonged to Charles Amos Buck, which was my grandfather. Out behind the house, in the so-called alley, was a two-story wood house that I very well remember. Next to that was the ice house. Next to that were the outdoor toilets. There was never an alley. The rest of the area was all apple orchards. And then along came Mr. Bragg's house, and behind that, they had a garden. And behind that was more houses and chicken coops. So there's never, ever been an alley. And I went to one of the meetings, and the mayor said, well, if you're going to do that, you have to take the expense of surveying from this side all the way to Third Avenue, Third Street. I did that. Well, then that wasn't good enough. I had to redo the petitions, have them notarized, and bring them back. I have everybody's signature. They all want it closed because it's not an alley. The town, I went to the Department of Revenue, and the town will make a great big ripping $89 a year from taxes from those of us that are extending the alley. There are some people that were, there is a family that was told that the alley was closed and they extended their fence 20 feet. So I don't understand how the town could have a problem with the alley, because it's never been an alley. It's never been a gravel road. It has lawn. It has irrigation sprinklers, underground sprinklers that go all the way to the back lots. It's well kept, and if it turns into an alley, I don't think it'd be very good property. It'd just be napweed. So hopefully, the council will take into consideration to close the alley. The water, it doesn't affect the water because everybody's water comes from the front of their houses to Buck Street, and those on Mission Street go from the front of their house to Mission Street. So the water does not run through the alley, so-called alley. And the power lines are above ground. And this says to close the alley with utility easement. So if in the future they want to do something, they have the ability to go in and do something. So I really don't think that the town would really care if the alley was closed. And there have been many alleys closed. Thank you.
Further public comment.
Bob Michelson, 222 Turner Street. This alley easement has quite a history to it. This started in August 18th of last year. It brought before the council. It was a rough sketch. We approved it. And yes, there were some issues there that we didn't know about. Mayor Dewey did not bring it through. There was some back and forth, and it came before the council again. We approved it, and then, of course, there was a turnover of attorneys by then, and the difference between the last attorney was just signatures. I think this new attorney wanted signatures that were notarized.
Yes.
And so, but George was there when we did the survey this spring for the guidebook of Corvallis. I was there, Carol was there. George knows the history that the sewer line there doesn't affect the sewer, doesn't affect the electrical lines. Carol said there's no, never been an alley, so it's really not an issue. And it's sad that she had to wait over a year to get here, but I'm glad she gets here. And I hope the council approves that. Thank you.
Further public comment on the alley? Okay, hearing no further comment, let's adjourn the public hearing and reconvene for a council meeting. How long does everybody need? Just like a 15.
Go right now.
Let's just take a quick 15-minute break, and then we'll reconvene for the council meeting.